Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Chuck Bonneville, along with Julie Hayden. This is the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, True Straight Up.
Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. Coming up at 3:30, the bottom of the hour, we're going to have Mark Poff join us, our law enforcement expert. He's going to be filling in for us on Friday. And you know, my friend Maureen, I have to tell him this, my friend Maureen is like, you know, Julie, I like it. She was implying that she likes it better when Mark fills in. And I'm like, well, it wasn't quite that blunt, but it was almost. But anyway, we're thrilled to have Mark with us and he'll...
Hey, friends like that.
Yeah, exactly. I wanted to start off today, though, talking about Scott Bottoms, who is a Republican candidate for governor, who is just all over the place on social media. He's a true grassroots hero, I think, down at the state capitol. I don't know how he does it, bravely fighting the insanity that the Democrats are imposing there every day. And today he was posting on social media about a situation where at the state capitol, female aides, and the aides are just like, they're people like practically slave labor, right? For all practical purposes, right? Yeah, they might get like coffee money or something like that. But these are people who are, for essentially, volunteers who are interested in politics, interested in helping out. And several of them, as well as female legislators, have complained because the Capitol lately has been invaded by men invading women's restrooms. And apparently saying, oh, well, I'm just transgender. Now, I don't know what the percentage of transgender people are in Colorado.
About 80%.
At the state capitol, it's 80%, right? Fine. I mean, we've seen situation after situation after situation where people who are sexual predators, people who are just whatever, want to stir things up, say, oh, I'm a woman, even though they're, you know, dressed like Chuck here. And she's like, I'm a woman, and now I'm going to come in and use a women's bathroom. And so they complained and said, hey, you know, what's up with that? And because clearly some of these people were not transgender. They were people who were just manipulating the situation and taking advantage and harassing the women. Well, that's what they're saying. Okay. And so the leadership, which is controlled by Democrats, said, okay, well, we'll look into it. But they didn't start looking into it. They started looking into the women who were making the complaints.
Thank God.
Yeah. I mean, it's like it persecuting them. And Scott Bottoms posted something on that. And so, Doug, if we could please play the Scott Bottoms video. Here's Scott explaining it.
Have been, as others, including female representatives, they have been having to deal with men coming into their bathrooms and using their bathrooms while they're in there. Now, these men are saying, well, I'm transgender, so I'm a woman, and so I'm coming in their bathroom. I don't agree with that kind of stuff. It is men that are using women's bathrooms. And so three of these aides, they came out and they said that they would file the complaint against this. And immediately, the leadership, the Democrat leadership in the House, the Speaker of the House, went after these girls. They said, well, we're going to keep this quiet while we kind of investigate. They didn't need to investigate anything. These guys are using these women's bathrooms and have been for a while. And now these girls are being persecuted. The Speaker of the House has tried to squash them, tried to control this thing. The Speaker of the House has also went after them with legal things. There's transgender lawyer groups that are going after them. They've done what's called CORA, their phone records and all these things, investigated their phone and email and all these other kind of things. These are young ladies that are trying to be professional within the political arena. They are hired aides by representatives. And the way that the Democrats treat these women is deplorable. They are going after these women. This is egregious.
And that's the thing. They want to shut him up. I mean, how quickly things change. It wasn't that long ago that a Democrat lawmaker ended up quitting, right, over the whole thing where he was using the ladies' bathroom. Now, he was trying, he should have just said he was transgender. And I forget who it was, but he, remember what I'm talking about? And he was saying, well, it's just quicker, right? And it's like, which it is. I mean, it's not. Anyone knows a men's bathroom is quicker. But he ended up having to quit over the whole thing, right? Back then, and this was just a few short years ago.
How things have improved.
He wasn't considered it bad taste for a man to go use the women's bathroom because
we've progressed, though.
That we have progressed. Exactly. We progressed to now where if a man is using your bathroom, if you're a lady and you want to complain about it, you're the one who gets investigated. And Representative Bottoms goes on to point out that, and he's right, he says, you know, LBG is one thing. He said this transgender move, he said it's a Marxist plot, essentially, or strategy to try to essentially take control away from parents. And he pointed to the bill that was the same Democrats that are investigating the girls from complaining about men using their bathroom, passed a bill that basically says if you misgender or dead name a child, you can lose custody of the child. So in other words, if you're in a bitter court custody divorce case, right? And your spouse says, oh, you're 3-year-old now says that she is a boy, and you say, no, she's not a boy, she's a girl, then you automatically lose custody. And not only that, the state can take the child away from you. The bill is in the Senate right now, where it's getting a little more scrutiny.
Well,
because
national scrutiny.
Right, it's got national scrutiny. The Trump administration is looking into this, and they're kind of like, why would you want to make a target? But you got to ask yourself, why, of all the things going on in Colorado, right, that what it, reality is, how many real transgender children are out there whose parents are refusing to do whatever? Instead, we've got teachers grooming kids. We've got, you know, people using it in custody battles. And now they're saying that if you simply, if your child says that their name is not, you know, Alex anymore, it's Alexa, and you even mistakenly call them Alex, all they have to do is say you call them Alex, then you can lose custody. And I guess the child goes into foster care, or, well, it goes to Jeffco school teachers is where it goes.
Yeah. It becomes a sex worker at Jeffco school teachers and administrators.
It's outrageous. And so that's what's going on here. And he said it's all part of the same battle. They don't let him talk about anything. Remember last year, you know, the gays for groomers, they couldn't say groomers because that's offensive.
That was their name.
Yeah.
Even though couldn't name the name of the organization.
And so now these women who, I mean, and even at the very least, right, you could turn around. Number one, what you could do is say, okay, if this is an issue, why don't we just designate one bathroom, you know,
for trans?
Well, just non-gender bathroom, right? I mean, that's, you see that all over the place anymore anyway. And my guess would be, and I don't know, I'll have to look into that, there might be a sort of a non-gender restrooms at the state capitol.
Well, the problem is when they did that at East High, and they took over the women's one, and the women now no longer had a bathroom.
Right.
They had and to- they didn't, you know, they couldn't restructure the entire building to create a third portal for transgenders.
It's a thing. And again,
they just need to figure out, you know, not eat or drink, hold it in for.
If you're a female aide at the state capitol, I'm sorry. No, it's kind of like working for Amazon, I think. No bathroom breaks for you, right? It's like, and again, the thing is there was no attempt to resolve it, no attempt to even say.
Well, how are they going to resolve it?
But immediately, though, not only that, but they start attacking the girls.
Well, yeah, that reminds you of Rawlings, who wrote. The Harry Potter thing, you know, I mean, she said something against transgender. And the transgenders, they have all the hostility of males along with sensitivity of females. And so they get to be kind of shrieking harlots and vicious, too. And, you know, it's
another one of those weird hills the Democrats want to die on,
to die.
Well, yeah, really. But anyway, so we thought we'd keep you posted on that. And the poor like he said, they've gone so far as to Cora to ask to see their phone records. Now, why would he want to do that? Well, you know why they want to do that. They want to see what they're complaining about so then they can file a discrimination suit, because it's not anymore, it's just not, you know, persecuting Christians for gay, you know, the gays persecuting Christians like they did with Jack Phillips, right? Mm-hmm. Now you're just going to go after anybody and everybody. That's old. That's yesterday's news, and the Supreme Court said you can't do that, right? So now they haven't ruled on the transgender thing. So that's my guess, that they're going to go after these girls. And again, the point is to silence anyone who raises their hand and says, hey, look, I object to this, right?
So very effective.
Yeah, it is very effective. And it's probably pretty effective in getting people not wanting to be AIDS, right? Why would you want, it's hostile enough down there if you're a Republican.
Well, you can just all male AIDS.
But then where are the women going to go to the bathroom? There won't be any room in the bathroom.
There won't be any women.
Maybe the women could go in the men's bathroom.
They could, but maybe. I'm not sure that solved the problem.
No, that wouldn't. And most women don't want to go in the men's bathroom anyway. So you're right, that would not solve. This is what women
not necessarily want to follow Julie's advice in these matters.
This is how men actually keep their territory. They make the whole thing so messy, so awful that no woman actually wants to go in there.
That's right.
And then
that's
you
right.
can come in if you want. And be like, no, no,
that's
no.
Right.
That's clever. Maybe the women need. No, it's anyway. That's a battle that's going on there. But it just is sort of symbolic.
In between the wonderful legislation and solving Colorado's problems, as they are.
I mean, it's just a sort of an example of the rot going on at the Colorado legislature. And then in the meantime, this is an aside. But I just saw Jared Polis. This is the important stuff they're doing. He was signing a bill saying, I'm signing a bill now, making it clear that any animals, cats, dogs, chickens used in scientific research will be given a forever home. I'm like, what? Most animals used in scientific research get their forever home as part of the scientific research. It's like, what a stupid bill. I mean, I don't know. If somebody has some insight onto this, I'm like, this is what they're spending their time doing. It's like making sure that, I mean, why not just ban the scientific research? Years ago, and I won an Emmy for it, did a story on greyhound racing research at CSU. And these dogs did not need forever homes they were dead. I mean, most of these animals, after the scientific research, they don't go to animal shelters and then go to a dog. They're dead. They die as a result of the scientific research. But I thought, well, that was a stupid bill.
Well, the ones
bill.
That survive, they get to, I guess they have some, maybe they have a special home down at the home.
That's what Polis is signing. So that's what the Democrats are getting past.
Helping you out, exactly.
Looking out for you. Wanted to also talk about the Tina Peters case. There was a hearing yesterday, and in which Attorney General Phil Weiser, who is a gubernatorial hopeful but will soon drop out, I predict, because Michael
predict he will not.
Because okay, well, that'd be fun if he didn't.
Because he's going to run to the left of
Michael Bennett. That's true. But at any rate, he filed a motion in federal court regarding the Tina Peters case. As you know, she was persecuted, sentenced to 9 years in prison, is now actually serving time in the state penitentiary, and the Trump Justice Department announced that among the many cases of lawfare that were used against MAGA supporters, they wanted to look into the case. So Phil Weiser filed the motion to prevent them from looking into it, which is a bizarre. I mean, he didn't say, it wasn't a motion that said, I don't want to hand over my notes, I don't want to do this. He just wanted the federal judge in Denver to tell Pam Bondi
the magistrate and
which is even
and then also filing something. Maybe he can file something that she can't think in pure thoughts.
But here's the thing. So they want the magistrate to tell Pam Bondi what the Department of Justice can and can't investigate. I mean, and the judge said, well, it's clear that there is no, has
you
been,
should call the magistrate.
The magistrate. It's clear the magistrate said there is no persecution of Tina Peters. That's obvious.
We know that. We all know that.
He said, I don't know, as a magistrate, I can say this. You might have to take it to a judge. So he postponed it for a week to give the two sides time to argue this. But
it's better than that.
Okay.
But what he did was he said, I want you to brief me on why you think I do or I don't have jurisdiction to decide this. And attach a briefing schedule to decide the matter, a proposed briefing schedule. You go,
now, what does that mean?
Well, you know, okay, Weiser will have his motion in 2 weeks, the response by the Justice Department, then they'll have 5 days, and then, you know, the whole suggested briefing schedule, and which presupposes that the judge will find that he does, in fact, have the ability to tell Pam Bondi what she ought to think.
Right. I mean, so there are a couple things to unpack here. Number one, it is outrageous that the Democrats, but this is what they do. This is, you know, lawfare 101. You go to the judge or the magistrate. I mean, heck, you might just get the law clerk or some law student, right? Go down to DU and find a law student and have them issue a ruling, you know, and say, to tell the Department of Justice what it can or can't do, right? So the next move would be, I guess, to tell Pam Bondi, hey, you can't investigate illegal aliens. Hey, you can't investigate this. I mean, before, this is a step beyond, before, like with the Hunter Biden case, they just ignored it and buried it, right? There was no telling the judge, the lawyer didn't file a case and say, judge, you can't look into this. It's like, that's ridiculous. So it's ridiculous on its face that the Colorado Attorney General is trying to get a judge to tell the Department of Justice what they can or can't look into.
But the best part about it is there are some 600 plus district judges. Now, if you can throw in magistrates, you're well over the year into the thousands. So this is exciting. You won't have to wait in line to file your telling what the Trump administration can and can't do.
And here,
so this is a good one, I think. I think hopefully the voters of Colorado will appreciate it.
Well, that's a good point. It's like, because that's, you know, if you play this out, and then I'll get to the second point. You're right. If you play this out, so the magistrate says, yeah, I determined that yes, the Department of Justice cannot look into this, right?
Well, I have jurisdiction
and you can't. I have jurisdiction over what the Department of Justice can or cannot launch investigations into.
Inquiries. It's really
it's not even an investigation. It's just an inquiry, right?
To see what they would think about intervening. So they're not giving Phil Weiser enough credit for being very,
it's very evil and clever,
very sneaky by finding this in getting a magistrate and everything else. So
then again, of course, and Pam Bondi has to appeal it and all of that. Meanwhile, Tina Peters sits in you know, behind bars. And who knows what the end result would be of the whole thing. But the other thing I think that's very telling here is that Phil Weiser and the Democrats do not want the information coming out about just really what a horrific persecution it was of Tina Peters.
Right.
The trial judge, and we talk about it at the time, the trial judge in his sentencing made outrageous comments like, you know, you're more dangerous. It was like Hitler. I mean, he didn't say Hitler, but I mean, she was a danger to society. He made outrageous comments, right? I mean, she was a former
clerk. The judge already said, you know, what do you have that say that this is a politically motivated prosecution? And you gotta be
the trial,
the judge, the FBI, the
part of it wasn't, you know. And
oh, dear, no, that's normal.
Well, it is normal, unfortunately. So they don't want any of that to come out. They don't want anything to come out.
Luckily, our local press won't let it come out. So
So you're just an election denier. And they don't want to come out that, you know, the way the judge limited evidence. They don't want any of the evidence that Tina would have presented if she'd been allowed to present.
Right.
They certainly don't want any of that to come out.
No, no.
They just want everybody to keep calling it election denier, right?
Right.
And again, it is this further, I don't know what, you know, the judicial branch, like you said, now it's down to magistrates, not even judges, but magistrates who can.
Parking lot attendants.
Who can now tell the court. Well, that exactly. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be
federalized.
The janitor can, they're going to, if they go in at midnight and want a motion, the janitor will be like, oh yeah, Trump can't do that. You know, and it'd be funny if it weren't actually happening. Right. I mean, I think there's a fairly good chance that the magistrate will be like, oh, I have jurisdiction. You know, I mean, what's he got to lose, really? I mean, before judges used to be like, well, they'll probably get overruled or the law, you know, that pesky law. I want to kind of keep that in mind. But that doesn't seem to bother anyone
Well,
anymore.
because everybody's on the move now you got Weiser who wants to become a U.S. senator, and I think
A
he
governor. Oh, governor.
senator, governor. You're
Governor.
right, governor. He wants to be governor, and so he's on the move and wants to attract everybody. The Secretary of State, in turn, wants to move over and be AG.
Who even knew that Jenna Griswold had a law degree?
No one did.
No,
No one did. And all of a sudden,
maybe you don't need
Wanda.
a law degree to be an AG.
No, she's got one
Weiser
apparently.
never was in court.
Huh?
Weiser never went to did any court
No, he's
cases.
never been in court, but he's watched on
He's
TV and
seen.
stuff, so that's
Yeah,
good
he's
stuff.
watched court TV.
Now he's going in court. I'm not sure he's the one
No,
arguing
I'm
this,
sure he's not, but.
but he's sitting in the back of the room anyway and soaking it up. And so it's keeping everybody busy. Everybody's trying to get in the public eye, trying to see if they can kind of catch attention for their next move.
And in the meantime, you know, like I said, it would not surprise me at all if this magistrate, who clearly, I mean, the Supreme Court, I don't think, has the authority to tell Pam Bondi what she can or can't issue an inquiry into, right? Next, it'll be the Epstein thing. They'll be like, you can't look into that. Sorry. Some magistrate
Somewhere.
somewhere in the Virgin Islands, right, will say, no, I can't look into that. I mean, it's just ludicrous. And speaking to that, then, in the meantime, another Colorado judge, a federal district judge, joined the bazillions of federal judges. It's like you don't get invited to the federal judge party if you have not issued an injunction prohibiting Trump,
A
a
nationwide.
nationwide injunction prohibiting Trump from deporting people, right? I mean, it's just like it's you're if you're a federal district judge right now, you're begging your friends, can you please file this? And they're like, oh, we don't even have any illegal aliens. They're like, just file it.
Just
I mean, everybody, if you are not a cool judge, if you have not issued a restraining order or something prohibiting Trump from deporting people. So a Colorado judge, again, Phil Weiser said, or I forget, was it Phil Weiser, the ACLU? Somebody filed a lawsuit saying that there's, I think, 13 illegal aliens that were about to be deported. And another Colorado judge said, nope, can't do that. You can't. But this judge went even further. This judge didn't just say that. This judge then created rules that the Trump department, that the Trump administration has to follow before it can deport anyone. They have to give them 21 days notice. They have to, she said all these things that they have to
You have to
do.
supply Pop-Tarts, a
Yeah,
week's
I mean,
supply of
who
Pop-Tarts
needs
allowed.
immigration? Who needs ICE anymore, right? When you've got federal judges just making up. Plus, who knows, a different judge in a different state could have different rules.
That's
So,
okay.
but that's okay, right? I mean, it's just the overreach there, you know, is to, again, to not only just say, no, you can't, but to say, and here are the rules that I'm coming up with based on, I don't know, my Ouija board or something like that, or just
Well,
my.
you can't deport them for 21 days. And you got to do this, and you got to do that. And you're kind of, well, they never used to do this. Well, they did, Judge Doyle, who I got to know pretty well when I clerked for Judge Breitenstein. Judge Doyle had all kinds of, he's the one who overlooked the integration of Denver schools, and he had all kinds of very, very specific little rules that everyone had to file
Well, that's rules with a filing, but she's issuing rules regarding the administrative rules, right?
No,
It's
these are
one.
administrative rules. And he'd say, you got to keep the schools open this long and you do
Oh.
this and you do that. And she'd usually say, you have to provide me what you think administrative rules I should adopt. And then
Yeah,
she'd,
this should just skip that part.
well, that slowed things
That
down
slows things
back in the
down.
old days.
Yeah.
So he's doing a good job. He's
That's
doing a good
right.
job.
Hey, I see we have Jacob raising his hand. Hey, Jacob.
Hi, I was away last week, so but I want the thing I asked about Letitia James last week is, did the judge know about all this? The judge in that case, I forget his name, but he's the one that said that Mar-a-Lago is only worth $180,000
Oh,
or something.
Marchand or Marchand.
Marshawn.
Marchand, I think.
Right. No, Marchand was something else. No, Marchand was the
Yeah, Marshawn was the other
I thought it
one.
was
No,
Ana
don't get,
Gwinn,
are you getting
regarding.
Fannie Willis and Letitia James confused? Because I do sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, I
Yeah.
think
But
Marshawn
anyway.
was a New York judge, I think.
Yeah. But he I think he already knew about this.
Oh,
The
the
Trump
scandal, the mortgage scandal?
because Alina Habba at that press conference after Trump lost, he was saying something something toward the fact that Letitia James is a hypocrite because she's been doing something. She said it in so many words. But the other thing is, with these judges here in Colorado that just withheld, you know, stopped the guys from deporting all these illegals, aren't they tired of making a fool out of Colorado?
No.
I mean, the last time they did.
We are a shining beacon, Jacob.
We have
high unemployment. Our housing market is, there was a thing there. It's like Colorado's like one of the worst. If you're trying to sell a home, it's tanks. Our crime is terrible. We are a shining beacon of what.
Our schools stink.
Our schools are, yeah, we're a shining beacon of what progressives can accomplish when they put their minds to it.
But I mean, you know, they lost the one where they're trying to keep Trump off the ballot, and they lost 9-0. It's not like
the Supreme Court, the Colorado Supreme Court itself, felt no problem. I'm saying, voters get to choose their candidates. Are you kidding me? Choosing your own candidates, you know, that's a threat to democracy, an absolute threat to democracy, to have the average citizen be able to have the candidates they want. And luckily, they prohibited it. It got appealed up to the Supreme Court. We all know it's crooked up there. It's Trumpville. But they stood strong for the right Colorado Republicans not to be able to vote for the person of their choice.
But, you know, Jacob, to your point, though, that's what I was saying, too. There was a time, I think, when judges would get kind of embarrassed about it, right? But anymore, they become so... they're activist judges, right? It's kind of like they care about making the point. They don't care if it gets overturned. They don't even care if it's based on nothing. They're seen as progressive judges and they're applauded in their circles. I mean, but you're right. I think there was a time when a judge would worry about it, but not anymore. Now they're like...
There was a time when in the Republican Party and elsewhere where being a felon wasn't a plus. And now you got Rich Wyatt going, I was a felon before being a felon was cool. We're in a whole different world now. We're in a brave new world where yesterday's picayune small standards.
Yeah, like men's using women's bathrooms.
Yeah,
like...
that's great.
That's true. But it's like this guy Raskin threatening countries not to do business with us, or else he's gonna retaliate when the Democrats take over again.
Yeah, it's like, I know, it's like,
he should be censured for that.
Oh, that means nothing anymore.
That's,
hey, Jacob,
yeah, that's true.
Okay. Appreciate it. And then Barney says, here's where you keep him straight, the judge with the yellow teeth.
Yeah,
he could go see the dentist. Hey, I see, Mark, I'm a couple of minutes early, but I see we have you here. Can we get you to... because we have to sign off a tad bit early today, but we have you there. So, hey, Mark Poff needs no introduction. He's going to be filling in for us Friday. And like I told you, I had lunch with my friend Maureen, who you guys do, and you and John do some work with. And Maureen was like, and she didn't quite put it this way, but she said, I like it better when Mark's there. When it's you and John.
You want to come in?
What? Oh, somebody's got their thing unmuted. So, but you're going to fill in.
I'm going.
Okay, before you get to what you want to talk about, let me ask you this. I saw this.
What the hell do you think you're doing making it, showing up Julie? That her own best friend.
There's no doing that.
Are telling her that she needs to really take a few more days off a month. And...
Well, you know, please don't do that. About once a month is about how much I can handle.
Hey, somebody is not muted. Hey, Jacob, if you could mute yourself. I think it's Jacob. Or Jacob. I think somebody else, too. Okay, so somebody was making a deal out of DAs in Denver and other places are now, when they have illegal immigrants who have committed a crime that's a felony, they're bargaining it down, or they're charging them actually with ag trespassing.
That was done a long time.
Well, that's what I was going to say, so that they don't get deported because it's a misdemeanor. And I was going to say, John Fabricatori chimed in on this, but I remember 30 years ago covering this too, where they would, did you ever see it? So back then they did it because so it wouldn't clog up the courts.
Yeah.
Okay, there we go. Did you ever see that happen where they would, anyway, it's been going on forever, where if you're an illegal immigrant and everything becomes agricultural trespassing, I don't know why they pick that, but.
Right. So it never happened. And I really was not very experienced. The whole time I was a detective, I think only one time did I ever arrest somebody who was an illegal alien that I know of and actually contacted, well, I don't know if it was ICE back then or whatever, to make sure that they put a retainer on him. And, everybody was trying to make me feel bad because I went into his house and yanked him out of there, separated him from his kids. And it's
Oh,
like, how can you do this, to a guy who's just, I mean, he told me he was working at a Ford plant in Mexico and he came up here with his family, his wife and two kids, and someone helped him set up a garage in an alley and he fixed cars. He said he could make more money fixing cars out of a garage on an alley in Colorado Springs than he could working at a Ford plant in Mexico. So
no.
I'm thinking maybe the problems with what Ford is paying their employees in
Yeah,
Mexico.
there you
So
go.
I get Trump, just to give my little side political thing, I get Trump saying we need to tariff parts because that's what they're doing in Mexico. But the bottom line is what this guy actually did was he stole someone else's. He got it through some type of coyote who he would not dime out. He goes, I'm a dead man if I tell you who did this for me. But he got a social security number. So he was working under a social security number, but it was somebody else's. And it's like, what harm, what foul, because I'm actually putting money into his social security account. But I'm like, well, unfortunately, that's a crime. So I arrested him and, I didn't pick up the kids. I should have arrested the whole family, taken them all to jail and said, look, Democrats don't want us separating,
Yeah, don't.
kids from their parents. So let's put them all in the county jail and see how that goes. But I never really ran into that where they
Okay.
were trying to lower. Again, El Paso County is one of those little conservative pockets in Colorado. But actually, it's quite the opposite. It's Denver and Boulder that are the liberal pockets, but that's just
Right.
where all the people are. So
Right.
I didn't run
Yeah.
into that.
Okay, well, these were Denver drug cases. So, well, let me then jump to there's who knows what'll happen here in the next couple of days.
Always something
And
does when you guys leave.
but what are you thinking about on Friday?
So I was going to have John come out and we were going to talk about Kohlberger and some other stuff, but I just got off the phone with John a few minutes ago and I'm not sure he's going to be able to make it Friday because some things have come up. I say this every time, but it's worse every time. I'm trying to be semi-retired. And so I've been turning down cases. And it seems like the more you turn out, it's kind of like once you have a girlfriend, all the other girls are interested in you. But I can't get away from all these cases and I'm just swamped and where they're saying, no, you've got to take this case for me and stuff. So on Friday, what I want to talk about, what interests me, is the definition of due process.
Ah.
So you hear all the Democrats and what I feel, and again, I'm just some average guy. But I get the feeling that this has been a scheme for years. So the Democrats opened the floodgates and let all, 8, 10 million, we're not sure how many, over 4 years, which is just amazing how you can get that many people in that short
Right.
period of time. But they did it. So then now, the one thing I've definitely learned is the Democrats can get their ducks in order. Republicans are like herding cats.
Yeah, yes, I
So,
can promise you that one.
yeah. So they've got everybody. It's like you hear the same thing. This is a constitutional crisis. You never hear anything once. You always hear it from everybody. It's like, I want to get on their texting chain so I know the phrase,
Yeah, of the day.
dark woke, whatever the thing is. Oh, I'm supposed to drop F-bombs now? Well, by golly, who cares about my character? I've been told by my party to start dropping F-bombs. So I think this is all a coordinated effort to do this. And then now they're using the system against us, which is this whole thing about due process. I'm really hoping the Supreme Court steps in and says, look, local district judges and maybe even magistrates here are making these rulings. How can that be nationwide? The Supreme Court is the only thing that's nationwide. So at a minimum, they should rule right away that only district judges for their jurisdiction. So if they're from the 11th Circuit, it has to impact the 11th Circuit and they can't be outside of that, only the Supreme Court. So I'm hoping they'll fix that. But you would think as much as they use that term, because they've all been told via a text message or something, we're gonna gang up on this and do due process, because I've done the math and I'm gonna run all the numbers on Friday to explain how due process will totally kill the system.
Oh, but I mean, that's their plan.
That's exactly the intent.
That's the plan. The plan is to just keep saying, well, it's not about this one parent
from Maryland.
Well, and they twist the due process. And this guy they've chosen, the father from Maryland, I mean, they need to get a better one. Every day you turn around, there's something even worse that comes out about him. But here, they're pretending like he was just sitting there and they swooped in and picked him off the street and then deported him. They forget the fact that they had hearings, they had deportation orders. He had his due process.
Not completely. You know, and if you actually look it up, and I'm going to go through it, we're going to talk about the due process. You probably know that due process is not well defined. A lot of the stuff amendments and stuff, they leave them kind of generic on purpose.
Right.
You know, the right to bear arms. They don't go into machine guns, cannons, and other things because that, you know. So I really want to talk about that. I do want to talk about tariffs because I can't help myself. I think tariffs are just hilarious. And yesterday, Chuck, you would love this part. I played 18 holes down at Walking Stick in Pueblo. I don't know if you know.
We're going to be down there Sunday for a golf tournament of rivers.
How are the conditions?
At Walking Stick?
Walking Stick.
Walking Stick is amazing. And the only thing I make sure whenever I play Walking Stick is I have at least 18 balls.
Oh.
Because I usually... there's a couple holes that are just brutal. Part threes are, I got to say this, bragging a little bit. They have a par five. They have two of them back to back, hole four and five. At hole five, I was at the 150 marker. I know I was there because I was right.
What tee did you play from? What tees did you play from?
White. I play from the whites.
Okay.
So I was at the 150. I was taking my third shot. That already tells you that it was not really a great hole. But at the third shot, I hit a 6-iron from the 150. And I thought, wow, this is going right at the green. This could go well for me. But I couldn't really see it. So my partner and I, we get up there and I'm like, I know this ball's on the green. And we couldn't find my ball. So you know what ultimately happened. It was in the cup. So I eagled the fifth hole from 150 yards out with a 6-iron. And that'll never happen. It did not happen again yesterday. So I played 18 holes. There was four of us. And we're kind of, the four each knew somebody. So I had one of my best friends that I was playing with, big conservative guy, Trump. See, I always talk about, you got the Trump lovers and the Trump haters.
Sure.
And they both call themselves Republicans. So yes. At the end of this foursome, we go into the bar and have a couple drinks. Because you got to have a couple drinks before you go driving.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Just kidding.
Particularly from Pueblo.
Yeah. So as it turns out, my buddy is a very conservative Republican. He is a Trump lover. And I consider myself in the middle. And I've said this. I can give or take Trump. Sometimes he drives me crazy. But I love his policies. And so I'm kind of, I can take or leave him.
You're a tranny.
You're
a political tranny. You can go one side,
okay.
You can switch to the other side.
That's bi.
Well, you can be, don't put down trannies again, Julia. You're gonna
before you know everything.
Right.
But so I consider myself one of those that I question everything. I consider myself kind of like Rand Paul from some things, but not everything.
Right.
But then we had another guy. I mean, these other two guys, one of them I didn't know at all. The other guy I really like, good guy, played golf with him multiple times. Coming to find out, he is a huge Trump hater. I mean, he even said, "I am a never Trumper."
Wow. So
we had a great conversation. And then the other guy was straight up a Democrat. So he was just like, "What's wrong with socialism?" I mean, so we'd already gotten done with 18 holes. And then we have this conversation that started at the bar and ended when we
got in the alley.
We got back to Colorado Springs, and it was so interesting, the difference between a Trump lover or always Trumper and a never Trumper. There's a lot of things they have in common, but it's completely the opposite.
Yeah.
They're very emotionally driven over their support or hatred of Trump. And a lot of the things they say, you just go, wait a minute, is that really true?
No.
Maybe we should question some of these things. So that was a great conversation. I'd love to talk about that a little bit.
Right. Yeah. I would go through your eagle again, too, if I were you. Just, you know.
That's it for me. I'll never do that again. and no one would have believed me, but the partner's the one who actually pulled the ball out of the cup. It wasn't me.
After you dropped it in as you walked up there from your pocket and shook your leg.
Dropped it in there and said, hey, go check the cup. Yeah.
Well, then the tariffs. And we don't have time to get into a lot, but it's interesting because my brother, who was a giant Trump lover, right? But he works in essentially landscape, hardscaping, so kind of construction stuff in the Atlanta area. And he is saying he's all in favor of having more of what is the H-1B visas. Right. He's saying it is getting hard and it's hard enough because people are leaving, right? And he's saying... Love Trump, and I love what he's doing with tariffs, and I love what he's doing with immigration.
But I need my Mexicans.
But exactly. He said, I need.
And I actually somewhat agree, but you got to do it the right way. The end does not justify the means.
Well, that's what he says, too. He said he needs to loosen up.
Because I will tell you from my experience out at the ranch and other things, places, Mexicans are hard workers. And if you get a good worker, you want them to stay, but then you find out they're an illegal alien and it's like, you can't work for me. And so that really causes problems. So ultimately the solution here is you got to sign the guest book. You've got to go through the wall. You got to go through the gate. You've got to register. And then you've got your due process.
Right.
The bottom line is if we were invaded by Russia, let's say Russia dropped off a whole bunch of troop transports and they invaded us in Texas or whatever. Probably wouldn't start at Texas because they get shot up.
Yeah,
maybe in Washington or Oregon.
Yeah.
They invade us and then they realize this isn't working out well. So we all want to stay. Do we get our due process?
Yeah.
No.
Right.
We're going to get rid of the invaders.
Right.
Your due process is getting on the plane.
Well, that'd be kind of like saying if I was like accused of murder, there was a trial, I was convicted of murder, and somewhere in between being convicted and sentenced and then actually taken to prison, I fled or escaped or something, and then they picked me up again, I don't get to say I haven't had due process. You have to have a whole new trial. They're like, no, you go straight to jail.
Had your due process.
Right.
And again, it's very loosely defined. So what is, they keep throwing out this term, due process, and it's like, what does that mean?
You know,
because like this guy from Maryland, like we said before, he'd already had two deportation orders, but yet the third at the end, it's like whoever you go to last, usually when you're in trouble, it's whoever you get to first, but here it's whoever you go to last. If they say, no, maybe you should stay. Well, which order do you obey? The two deportations or the one who's saying, maybe not.
Right. Well, and like I said, it'd just be as simple as if I was convicted and sentenced and fled, you don't get to have a whole new trial. What?
Right.
Listen, I'm going to let us go now. I have a thing.
So she's asking you, she's begging you, could you please suck on Friday? Because
actually what I'd love to do the most is to do you. I always do this thing where I like to say you might be stupid. But there's so many stupid people. I want to add a new phrase to that. Like you might be stupid if you do this. I like to add another one. You might be an ass if you do this. So I can have this whole thing. Are you an ass or are you just stupid or are you both?
Just act like one.
You're just a stupid ass. But there's so many people out there. I don't think I could fit that into a 1 hour.
Yeah, no. All right. Well, Mark, we can't wait to hear that. Thank you.
All right, Mark.
We will see you then. Thank you for your time today.
You bet.
Like I said, we're going to cut short a little bit early, but thank you to everybody on Zoom, the great guys at BBS. Mark, we'll see you on Party Friday, and we'll be back after that. Bye, everybody.